Today's reading is from the Gospel of John, chapter 10, verses 11 to 18. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life, only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thanks, Jackie. Well, good morning. There was an advert on TV a while ago with this shepherd with his sheepdog beside him. Perhaps you can recall it. And, you know, the shepherd began to shear his sheep one after the other until the whole flock was done. But then he just carried on shearing, and so he sheared his sheepdog as well. And the poor dog ran off with clumps of fur missing. Then the words appear, he should have gone to Specsavers. That was a very, very bad shepherd. Now Jesus said emphatically, I am the good shepherd. Now you might ask, well, why did Jesus say that? Is it because we behave like sheep and we need a shepherd? Is that how it really is? Are you and I in some way just like sheep? Do we really need a shepherd called Jesus Christ? Well, look, I'm no expert on sheep or indeed lambs. The nearest I ever get to a lamb is in Sainsbury's. But let me mention a few obvious things about sheep and a few bits I've been learning. And firstly, you know, sheep have no sense of direction. Sheep are notorious for getting lost. The old nursery rhyme goes, little Bo Peep has lost her sheep and doesn't know where to find them. Leave them alone and they'll come home wagging their tails behind them. Well, if that's what Bo Peep really believed, then the poor girl was seriously deluded. When sheep get lost, they stay lost unless the shepherd finds them. And do you know how sheep get lost? They see a bit of grass over there. It looks delicious. They go and they munch it. They see a bit more. They go after that. They see a bit more. They go after that. And they munch their way along. And then bit by bit, bite by bite, they just wander off. Sheep, of course, don't intend to get lost. They don't think so deeply about it because, well, they just don't think. Lots of people, sadly, are like that. Lots of Christians are like that. They don't make a decision to turn their back on God. They just gradually wander away. And often it's because they're so preoccupied with whatever's going on in their lives. And gradually God seems more distant, less real, and their faith in Jesus diminishes. Fortunately, Jesus looks for lost sheep. And he told this story to make the point. You find it in Luke's Gospel, chapter 15. He said, suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Doesn't he leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. Then he calls his friends and neighbours together and says, rejoice with me, I have found my lost sheep. Now, personally, if I was a shepherd, I wouldn't bother with the lost sheep. I'd hang on to the 99. But they were safe, you see, in the sheepfold. One of them wasn't, and it was in great danger. And Jesus is making the point that he cares about individuals and he seeks them out. And that could be any one of us here today. You may be a Christian, you may not. But is there a sense in which you feel kind of lost, if that's the right word for it? And the second thing about sheep to notice is that sheep, they copy the behaviour of others. Sheep follow sheep because, well, that's what sheep do. And in the process, they actually copy their behaviour. A farmer once said he put a rope across the door of his barn. So when the sheep came out, the first few had to jump over it. And then when he cut the rope, all the other sheep came out and they jumped over this invisible rope that was in their minds because they'd seen the others do it and they just copied them. Now, we might laugh, but I wonder how many young people, for example, simply copy others. I don't just mean copy their fashion, but copy their habits and do what others do. So often it's because they don't want to appear different and be the odd one out. And that's why we need to pray for Felicity, this lovely young girl, that she will know her own mind and that she will follow the shepherd and not the sheep. And that brings us on to something else. You know, sheep can't get up without help. Sometimes sheep fall over or turn over and so they end up on their backs. And when they're on their backs, they can't move and get up straight. An old English term for this is cast down. And a cast down sheep is a pitiful sight. Poor animal can only lay there defenceless until the shepherd rescues it. Earlier we read together Psalm 23 written by King David, who was once a shepherd. So it was very natural for him to speak about God as his shepherd and himself as a sheep. And we read those well-known words, didn't we? He wrote in Psalm 23, "Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me." The rod is the club used to keep predators away, and the staff is used to lift up the sheep when it's on its back. But, you know, when it's really agitated, the shepherd has to wait until it's quite still before he can really help it and rescue it. And, you know, sometimes it's only when we come to the end of ourselves that we get help from the good shepherd. And incidentally, can I ask you, are you in a dark valley right now? Or is there some kind of a shadow over you? Are you stuck? Cast down like a sheep that's on its back and going nowhere. Well, can I say with all sincerity, there really is a good shepherd and he can help you. Again, we come to something else. Sheep can't, they just can't care for themselves when they're wounded. When a sheep gets a wound or gets bitten, you know, it can't care for itself. Other animals lick a wound until it heals, but not a sheep. They need a shepherd to help with their injuries. A good shepherd will use his staff to hold the animal down at the end of the day and check it for wounds. A good shepherd will then look after the wound constantly until it's healed completely. I wonder how many of us, in all honesty, are like wounded sheep that can't heal themselves. Not wounded by an animal, but say, for example, wounded simply by the words of others. And there are many other wounds that we can be living with that just don't seem to go away. The fallout from a broken relationship, past hurts, and of course, bereavement itself. You know, sadly, we can be broken-hearted and need healing, but not let the shepherd touch us. But the promise of God and Jesus, the good shepherd, is for us, where it says, for example, in Psalm 147, it says that he heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. That's if we ask him. And yet again, we come to another comparison with sheep that I'd like to mention. And that is that sheep are not meant to carry burdens. Now, some animals are very good at carrying burdens. You know, a donkey can carry up to 50 kilograms. That's 8 stone. It can carry it on its back. An elephant can carry up to 25% of its own body weight, equivalent, I'm told, to 16 and a half people. What's a half? Well, it must be a little kid. And even a dog can carry something if it's only a ball or a stick or your rolled up copy of the Church Times or whatever, or the Sporting Life. But a sheep, it can't carry anything. Do you ever see a sheep anywhere with a pack on its back? You know, we're not meant to carry burdens either, but many of us do. And there's all kinds of burdens that we can carry through life. There's the burden, for example, of guilt because of past mistakes. There's the burden of thinking that we have to somehow earn God's love and earn God's favour by keeping certain rules or by doing endless good things to sort of try and make up for all the bad things that we've done and kind of balance things up. But none of that works. It leads to a feeling of heaviness. And that's why Jesus proclaimed, again, Matthew's gospel. Jesus said, "Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy burdened, and I will give you rest." Only a really good shepherd can make a promise like that and keep it, and he does. And another important comparison that we can make with sheep is this, and is that sheep are naturally fearful. Sheep are easily frightened because they are defenceless animals. They have no fangs, and they can't bite, they can't growl, they can't sting. A ewe can kick to defend its lamb, but that's about as far as it goes. And so sheep can be easily afraid, especially if that sheep is on its own. You know, fear and anxiety play a huge part in our lives. And the phrase, you know, "fear not" appears many times in the Bible because we're so often fearful. It's something that we have in common with sheep, and it's why we need a shepherd. And lastly, and I think this is really quite sad, sheep will settle for less than they could have. When sheep are thirsty, they'll stop and drink from any dirty puddle right in front of them, even though there's clean water a bit further ahead, and they miss out on that completely. They are content with filth because it satisfies them in the moment. And we can be like that. We can indulge in what seems enticing and even good, and yet even be poisoned by what we're doing, whilst never realising there's something that is so much better. There's fresh water that we can drink spiritually. It's the fresh, life-giving water. That is the Holy Spirit, who's been mentioned so many times in our service this morning. The Holy Spirit is the presence of Jesus in our lives that he promised to all who acknowledge him as Lord. Presence of the Holy Spirit means the love of Jesus, the peace of Jesus, kindness of Jesus, all of those things filling us up. That's the shepherd caring for our souls. Now, so far we've made a very negative comparison between ourselves and sheep, although there's actually a few positive things that I want to say. And firstly, sheep recognize the voice of the shepherd. Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father." You know, today, shepherds rely upon their dogs to guide their sheep while they walk behind the flock. But in Jesus' day, a shepherd led his flock from the front as the sheep listened to his voice. He called them by name out of the sheepfold, and they followed him as they heard him speak. And they wouldn't listen to a stranger, but only their shepherd, because they knew that they could trust him and he led them to pasture. And so it was then that the shepherd and his sheep knew each other very well. And can I say that the Christian faith is all about a personal relationship with a trustworthy shepherd, that is the good shepherd, that is Jesus Christ. The Christian faith is all about relationship, relationship, relationship. And that's what's on offer for you and me this morning. Again, David, in the 23rd Psalm, he began by saying, "The Lord is my shepherd." Not a shepherd or like a shepherd, but my shepherd. It's that personal. And David trusted the Lord for everything he needed in life, even going through the valley of the shadow of death. He knew he was a good shepherd from his personal experience of following him. And Jesus can meet our needs too, but we need to listen to his voice and make that very important decision to follow him. And lastly, sheep are very, very valuable. In Jesus' day, sheep were highly valued because of what they could be used for. Sheep were a source of food and clothing, of milk, writing materials, and even tents. And we are of great value to the Good Shepherd simply because of who we are as people, not because of what we can use for. And it grieves him, it really does, to see the way that so many struggle as they do, as maybe we do. So we have this wonderful few verses in Matthew's Gospel where it says simply that Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and illness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Jesus is the good shepherd because he really loves his sheep, even to the point of dying for them. As he said, "I am the good shepherd, the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep." You know, when Jesus spoke those words, he was thinking ahead to his crucifixion on that first Good Friday, thinking ahead to a time when he, the shepherd, would be sacrificed actually like a lamb and die in our place. And the prophet Isaiah foresaw that event centuries before when he wrote these words. This is a prophecy. It says that all of us were like sheep that were lost, each of us going his own way, but the Lord made the punishment fall on him, the punishment all of us deserved. In other words, he's saying that Jesus actually, he changed places with us. He carried the can, as they say, and so paid the price for all that we have done wrong. The slate is wiped clean. We can be free, and you and I can be in the sheepfold. We can know the love and forgiveness of God because the Good Shepherd has died for us. And that's if we are willing to trust him, to hear his voice, and to follow him, to listen and accept him as Lord. You know, I've said quite a lot this morning. I'm sure you've heard lots and lots of words trying to take it all in. But I do think there is an opportunity here for us to respond. And there could be some who think, well, I can't see how it all, you know, applies to me. I'm not into all this stuff. And I get that, and I understand where people are at, and I respect the views of each individual. But there are others who may think, well, actually, you know, the years have gone by, and I've drifted away from God, and I want to come back. I really do. And others have heard this, perhaps for the first time, and think, yeah, you know, it's all about me, and I really am ready to follow the Good Shepherd. And maybe others have got friends or family, children that just seem like lost sheep that have wandered off, and you wonder what they're up to and where they are with God. Well, I can only say that I want to conclude with a prayer. And please, if you want to, just say amen at the end. They'll make it your own. Let's pray. Thank you, Jesus, that you are the good shepherd. And I do believe that you've been speaking to me today. And I want to come back. I want you to find me, to pick me up, turn me up the right way, and be with me constantly, even through the valley of the shadow of death. And Lord, I pray for those on my heart who just seem so lost. I love them, you love them, but Lord, bring them back, that we might be together, one flock, with one good shepherd. Amen.